and SIPC.
In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
He raced through town without breaking any laws to be here for us. Alan Adams joining us in studio here for Pass the Popcorn. Happy Monday, Al.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for hustling over here.
Of course, I wouldn't miss it.
You could.
If I had to, but if I can make it work, I'm certainly going to do my best to make it work.
We thank you for that. We were chatting in the break about part of your weekend, a big improv show benefiting the Bangor Humane Society Friday night.
Yeah, no, we had a great crowd. A lot of folks showed up. We had an adorable special guest, a little hound by the name of Tina. She's 9 years old, very, very sweet. She's an excellent kisser. but no, a very sweet girl who had returned to the Humane Society due to some issues with separation anxiety because she had been grown accustomed to having her people around. They started working outside the home again, and the pup struggled. It's understandable, but it's still sad to hear. So, but yes, I can vouch for Tina being a very, very sweet dog. So if anyone is out there and is on the market, I would say head over to the Bangor Humane Society, because even if Tina's not there, there are some really lovely pups over there.
Nice. What else did you do on your weekend?
Well, on Saturday, I celebrated a buddy of mine turned 50. So we had a birthday party for him.
Nice.
Hung out and, had some drinks and had some laughs. It was nice. And then yesterday, it's funny. We actually just got back into town. Maybe I don't know.
I saw what you did last night. Yeah.
But yeah, I went. We went down to Boston and saw at the Roadrunner the band Soul Coughing, which if you know, you know. It's one of those sorts of
and the most unlikely return, I think, in music.
Well, it's funny because they basically broke up 25 years ago. Mm. For pretty contentiously, honestly, and that was perhaps exacerbated by the release, and it's 2010 or 2011. Mike Doty, who's the frontman, released a memoir titled "The Book of Drugs" that was incendiary, like really just like bomb throwing, like burning bridges left and right, like, and it was one of those things. Oh, okay, so they're that's like it. done. But they brought it back together, and it was awesome. Like, it was awesome. The show itself was great. The reality is, my nostalgia tinted glasses, I don't imagine it would have been bad, even if it had been bad.
Sure.
But it was not. Like, it was really, they played. It's funny. Like, it's funny to think about the idea of deep cuts with a band like this, because they only released 3 studio albums. Like, it's not like they had this lengthy discography. And they go up there, they do a set of 19 or 20 songs. Like, they're pretty much hitting everything. But at the same time, it's still nice when you, there was one song in particular, that is a personal favorite of mine that I had not seen appearing on some of the set lists for previous concerts. And so I was prepared to be a little let down just a little. Cause if you have a favorite, you want to hear it.
Right.
But third song in, they played it, and I'm like, oh, you guys knew I was coming and didn't want to make me wait. I really appreciate that. It's one of those things where I'm not a huge music guy, but this band came into my life accidentally. Like, I was it was my freshman year at Alfred University. I was working at the college radio station, and once a month they would bring everyone in, and they would just go through all the unsolicited stuff that had come from the various record companies. And if there were duplicates of anything, the station manager, this guy Raf Nataro, would just be like, hey, who wants this? Hey, who wants this? Hey, who wants this? And he had an EP, which was like 5 songs from Ruby Vroom, which was Soul Coughing's first album. And I was like, and I still don't know to this day why I was like, I'll take that. But I did. And they quickly became one of my, if not my favorite bands. And so that music is tied it's just tied very tightly to that time in my life. So I fell in love with them, and you know, I saw them play at Syracuse in either late 96 or early 97. I don't really remember. But yeah, it was just, it was this wonderful sort of nostalgia trip that also doubled as kind of a banging concert. Like, I'd never been to that venue before, but it's like, I don't know, like 3,000 people. Like, it's a it's a giant venue. Yeah, we went, we had a great time. In deference to the olds, of which there were many, although there were more younger people there than I anticipated, I expected to sort of be in the basically the median there. Right. But I think they skewed it a little bit younger. But yeah, they went on. They went on, did like a tight, you know, hour and 45, and got us the F out of there, because we all, you know, like most of these people had work in the morning. Right. So it was just like, but yeah, it was a great experience. I loved it. And then, you know, and then we drove back today, and then I basically was home for 45 minutes. And then, I hit an audition at PTC for their upcoming production of Dial M for Murder. And now I'm here. Yeah. And I'm very excited about it.
Me too. Me too. Any movies that you'd care to talk about today?
You know, I did manage to get one in, believe it or not. I did not go to the theaters, which is kind of a bummer, because there are a couple, I think, real solid offerings out there right now. Certainly interesting to me. There's one called The Wild Robot, which is an animated film based on a book by a main author, which I did not know.
Oh, I didn't either.
Which did very well at the box office this weekend. And another movie that I was very excited about that did not do well at the box office was Megalopolis, Francis Ford Coppola's latest opus. I will see both of those movies at some point. However, I have not seen them yet. What I did see, however, on Apple TV Plus, a little movie called Wolfs.
Oh, yes.
Written and directed by John Waugh and starring George Clooney and Brad Pitt. Basically being George Clooney and Brad Pitt. And you know what? I'm good with that.
Me too. Sign me up.
Let's go.
Yep.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I guess you'd call it an action comedy. There's not a ton of action, really. You know, it's basically an excuse to point a camera at these two cool guys being cool. And, like we said, nothing wrong with that.
No,
that is a perfectly acceptable way to spend a couple of hours for sure. But yeah, the basic gist of the film, we start off, with, it's basically a phone call. It is, a woman is in, a ritzy, like, penthouse hotel room. She's panicking. She's also played by Amy Ryan.
Nice.
Which was very nice. But she's on the phone, and she's panicking because there is a young man lying face down in a shattered bar cart in the bedroom, and he is dead.
Oh.
And she is the district attorney.
Oh.
And so This mess needs to be cleaned up. And apparently, someone that she trusts has given her a phone number to call if she's ever in trouble. Like, vaguely defined trouble.
Hmm.
And so she calls this number, and the person on the other end, basically, there's a lot of, how did you get this number? What are you doing? What do you want? What do you need? And then an agreement is reached, and a few minutes later, who shows up at the door? It's George Clooney. George Clooney is going to...
I want that number, by the way. I want to be able to call George Clooney when I've got a problem.
Yeah, right? I mean, don't we all? And so he shows up, and he's like, all right, I'm going to fix this. We're going to make this all go away. And they start making plans, and then there's a knock at the door. And he's like, did you call? And she's like, no, did you? And so he hides. She goes and answers the door, and in saunters Brad Pitt. Now, Brad Pitt is the person that the owner of the hotel calls when there's a situation.
That's his number to call. I love it. Love it.
And so we wind up having an extended speakerphone chat with, again, the Manhattan District Attorney, our two nameless fixers, and the owner of the hotel, voiced by, and I did not find this out until after the fact, voiced by Frances McDormand. Because of course.
Wow.
Because of course.
Love it.
We're left with this situation. You know, these guys are both, like, the nature of the job is you work alone. You know, you don't have connections. But they are sort of, by circumstance, forced to work together to deal with this you know, dead guy and get it out. And so there's no scandal surrounding either the district attorney or the hotel. And it sort of proceeds from there. It's maybe a mild spoiler, but I'm going to say it anyway, just because it's a key to the advancement of the rest of the film. We quickly discover that the dead guy, maybe not quite as dead as we might have otherwise thought, played by Austin Abrams, who looked familiar. I couldn't place him, but has done a lot of the teen movie stuff.
Yep.
And like, so he's been around a bit, like not in anything that I've really seen, but one of those, I mean, it's just going to happen more and more where there's going to be people who are incredibly famous and I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Right.
But yes, and we find out that there's this whole thing with Albanians and drug running and just it all gets very complicated very quickly. And our two our individual lone wolves are forced to kind of come together despite their extreme misgivings about doing so, which is obviously the heart of a lot of the comedy. This sort of these two guys forced into dealing with this problem together. And they are similar enough so that they drive one another bonkers. And that's kind of it. It's super fun. Like, I had a really good time watching this movie. Like, is it is it the most sophisticated, film? No. But it's like, but when you put these like two dudes like this together, you just don't get movies like this anymore. No.
Is Clooney involved as a producer in this?
Both of them are.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they're both producers on this. You don't get that many movies anymore where it's just, hey, let's get a couple of A-listers, put them together and let them cook.
Right.
Like, let's do that. Like, that used to be the entire foundation of Hollywood.
Right.
So maybe we could do that every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I mean, it's not in movie theaters. It's on Apple TV Plus, where it will, I'm sure, die a quick and lonely death because Apple is really terrible at promoting any and all of their properties. I don't think they care.
No.
Near as I can tell, their entire film and television production situation is basically just a write-off that occasionally wins trophies. Mm. Which, again, if you've got $1 trillion, I guess it doesn't really matter. and you're trying to keep that streaming service viable for reasons that, again, I don't fully understand. But I'm not the galaxy-brained billionaire type, so what do I know? That being said, super tight, small, there are a couple of scenes involving more people, extras or whatever. But for the most part, it's just you're just dealing with two or three people at a time. So there's this real sense of intimacy to it. Again, Clooney and Pitt, obviously, they love each other. Like, they're just dudes duding it up. And so for them to be able to play like this, where they can sort of, they can keep that sort of affection, but they hide it underneath a veneer of antagonism. It's like, they're clearly enjoying themselves. It's funny. I was saying this to Sheridan. It's like, there are moments in that movie where it's like, oh, like, I bet this is how they interact with each other, in real life. just basically, sure. Giving each other crap and, and basically being vaguely jerkish to one another. But, with love, as many dudes are wont to do,
sure,
in their dude relationships. Well-constructed. John Watts, love him or hate him, it's, you can't dispute the dude knows what he's doing when he makes movies, particularly movies like this. The energy is great. Is it maybe on the forgettable side? Sure. But as far in the moment, as far as experiences where you're just sort of sitting back and enjoying a movie for the sake of enjoying a movie, you're not changing the world. You're not trying to convey any sort of grand message. It's just two handsome, charming dudes being handsome and charming while occasional car chases and bullets fly.
So it's this segment without the car chases.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. I was initially irritated, but I grew to respect the fact that they insisted on wolves and not wolves.
Yeah.
Because they are each a lone wolf, so they are wolves and not wolves. And I'm like, oh, I don't like it. And then I'm like, okay, I do like it.
Sure.
So, just as a fun aside, we never learn either of their names.
Perfect.
Yep. Neither character receives a name, and so it's just Like, we're not even like adding any sort of labels to these dudes. They're just like wearing black leather jackets and being cool. And yeah, like I would like to hang out with those cool guys. I'm not gonna lie about it. So yeah, Wolves, good time.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Thanks for making your way in this afternoon.
Of course.
We'll see you next Monday.
Yes, sir.